So it's clear that the heroes of Hanukkah are the Hashmonaim, the Maccabees, Matisyo and his five sons. And the title of the shir is what the Hashmonaim kingdom accomplished and what they should have accomplished from a halachic perspective. If you look at the Rishonim, and I mean actually the Rambam and the Ramban, there's actually machlokas, an argument whether it was good that the Hashmonaim took in their hands the royalty. There's no question that to begin the revolt, when Matisyo began the revolt, that was very important. The Makom Shein Ish, in a place where there's no men around, he's Gavli Yos Ish, you have to take the leading role. The question is, was it a good thing that the Hashmonaim continued? And maybe they should have given it up after the Nes Chanukah. So the Rambam is very clear, and we'll learn the Rambam first. Rambam feels that one of the miracles of Chanukah was that the kingdom, the Jewish kingdom, the rule of Eretz Yisrael returned to the Jewish people. This is the Rambam, Hilchos Megillah, Chanukah, Perigim Olacha Aleph. The Rambam begins with a story. The Vayashen, during the time of the Second Temple, Kishemolchu Yovan in Greek, Greece ruled, Gozru Zeros to Yisrael. So they enacted decrees on the Jewish people against the Jews. Uvatlu Datom, and they tried to mevatel, to erase, to remove the law of the Torah. V'lo nicham osam, they didn't allow the Jews, l'asuk Torah mitzvos, to be involved in Torah mitzvos. U'pashtu yod mamonam, and their hands were stretched out in their monam against the money of the Jewish people, v'nosem against the daughters. V'nichnasu l'heichol, they came into the sanctuary, the Beis HaMikdash. U'forchu bo prostim at the horos, they did terrible things to the Beis HaMikdash, and they made what was Torah Tomei. V'tzor lehem yisol neyem, and they oppressed the Jews, v'lachatzum lachatz gadol, and there was terrible pressure, terrible oppression, asherichem aleim elokeim elaseinu, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of our forefathers, went ahead and redeemed them, v'oshiyam miyodam, and saved them, v'yitzilam, v'begavrum nechashmonai kohanim agadolim, and the Hashmonaim were misgaber, they were victorious, v'hargum, and they killed the Greeks, v'oshiyo Yisrael miyodam, saved Jews from their hands, v'midu melech mina kohanim, and they put into place a king from the kohanim, v'chozra malchus Yisrael yeshlam asayim v'shana churban hasheni, and the royalty, kingdom, kingship returned to the Jews until the destruction of the temple, until the destruction of the second temple. I would just begin, this is fascinating, this Rambam is obviously quoted, not just in the Garta Hanukkah, but just to realize that most of the kings from the Hashmonaic kingdom were not tzaddikim. I think that's an understatement, by the way, alright? Some of them did terrible things, but the Rambam says the fact that there's a Jew ruling Eretz Israel, so that was one of the miracles of Hanukkah. Just to keep in mind that sometimes things are not perfect, but we have to recognize the Yeshua, the salvation, even when things are not perfect. But that's not the point of the shir. The point of the shir is the Rambam seems to really express the idea that the fact that the kingship returned to Am Yisrael, even though the people that were the kings were Kohanim, and not from Shevi Yehuda, not descendants of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. That was one of the miracles of the Hanukkah, and the Rambam stresses the fact, not just that Chazra Malchus of Yisrael, but also that Midu Melech Min HaKohanim, that the king came from the Kohanim. So there's some problems with that, but my uncle, Yashivir Soloveitchik, explained that why, okay, understand the fact that Chazra Malchus Yisrael, that now the Jews had the rights to rule over Eretz Yisrael, but why does Rambam emphasize the Kohanim, the priest, the Kohanim Gedolim? And my uncle explained that the Bach says, you know, you have to always ask a question. Sometimes when we see that there is oppression that faces Klal Yisrael, we have to ask, why did this happen? So the Bach suggests that the reason why it happened was because at that time the Jews had weakened in their Avodah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avodah HaMikdash, and because of that, the base HaMikdash was taken away for a temporary amount, small amount of time, however you define what small is. And therefore, having the Kohanim who were ruling Eretz Yisrael, the Chazal felt that was, Rambam felt was a very special thing, because they would actually try to enforce and to emphasize the importance of the Avodah. But the Rambam clearly here says that it was a good thing. It was impressive. It was something to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, that Chazra Malchus Yisrael, that the kingship came back to the Jewish people, Jews ruled over Yisrael until the destruction of the temple, and even though they were not from Sheva Yehuda, this is something to give Shevach Vodah praise and thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu for. So what I'd like to do in the Shir is really to understand the Shitas HaRambam. So if we look, the Rambam, according to the Rambam, is it a problem if you have a king that's not from Sheva Yehuda, from the tribe of Yehuda? According to the Rambam, is it a problem if the Kohanim are kings? Let's try to understand the Rambam. So the Rambam is Sefer HaMitzvos, when he talks about the halacha of who you appoint as a king, this is Mitzvah Slosa Se Shin Samach Beis. The Rambam says, HaMitzvah Shin Samach Beis, the negative commandment, 360 negative commandment, is that we have to make sure to appoint the king that has to be from Zera Yisrael, has to be Jewish. We can't appoint a king that's not from Zera Yisrael. And even if someone is a convert, a Ger Tzedek, the fact is, to be a king, you have to be a born Jew. And this is the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, Sefer Devarim, you're not allowed to place upon yourself an Ishnachri, Ashielo Achichu, is not your brother. And it's the mitzvah also say, and then the Rambam says, V'chein Shara Menuyim, other appointees, Einu Mutter, Shenimne Aleinu B'inyim in Anyonim, Lo Minu Torah, whether you're appointing somebody, you know, to be a leader in Torah, Lo Minu Malchus, or to appoint somebody to, and in terms of the royalty, Ish Shehoya Mikal Gerim, Ad Shetiyo Im Yisrael, he has to have a Jewish mother. Sometimes Melech HaMelech HaRvachecha. You know, it's interesting that, we know, so what Rambam says is that you can't appoint a convert, even a Ger Tzedek, even a Minui Torah, to be a leader in Torah. However, we know in our history that there were two very great Gedolei Hador, Gedolei Chachamim, that were Gerim, Shmaya Bavtalia. And as a matter of fact, Hill would sometimes, you know, quote Shmaya Bavtalia in the exact Havara, because they were Gerim. We know sometimes a person who is not born Jewish, right, can pronounce letters the way a born Jew can. It's like, for example, you know, I have a name Chaim, so it was always interesting. I was used to it already. In elementary school, all the teachers that were not Jewish, right, my name was not Chaim. They couldn't do Chaim. It was always Chaim. That was the way it went. Okay, so Shmaya Vitalian, we're told, had some challenges with that. So how could it be that Shmaya Vitalian were in the Siyim? So I think someone was showing them point out that when it came to a vote, they weren't involved in the vote. I think my father told me in the Shemra of Moshe, his father, that it's true, there's a halacha. But The Gadol Hador is a ger. How can you not appoint the Gadol Hador to be the Nasi? As he says, I think this we'll understand this as we get along. It was an exception because, you know, if you're talking about, you have a few people that are candidates, right? Okay, so you appoint the person that's not the ger, not the convert. But if someone is a Gadol Hador, they are the premier Gadoli Hador, a Shmaya Vitalian war, they would have to be the Nasiim. That's how my grandfather explained it. Or let's go on. Then the Rambam says, well, how about, so the Torah says you can't appoint the convert. Well, how about Malchus Beis David? So look at the Rambam. The Rambam goes on and says, Omnam, Hamalchus Levad, Kvar Yadata Miksuve Sifre Nevuah. We know that who was Zoch, who merited to Malchus from the Jews? It was David HaMelech. And he says, Keter Malchus, the crown of royalty, Zochem Bo David. And also his descendants afterwards, Atzokol Adoros. Right, Ein Melech. The Rambam uses very strong words. Ein Melech leMisha Yamim Torah Moshe Ben Shalom Adon Kol Neviim. So there's no Melech to someone who believes in Torah Moshe Ben Shalom Adon Kol Neviim. Ela Mizera David. Even though it was Neviim that emphasized the whole idea that the Malchus belongs to David, however, someone who believes in Torah Moshe, the Rambam says, has to believe that the Melech has to come from Zera David, Mizera Shomu Levad. The Rambam says, if someone does not come from Malchus Beis David, he's called a Nachri in regard to Malchus. Just like someone who does not come from Aaron but is a Jew, is a stranger, is a Zer, when it comes to Kahuna, if someone is not from Malchus Beis David, based on the Nevi'im, the Rambam says, he is not, he's considered a stranger, a Nachri. And then he explains what it's about. So we see so now, the Rambam is very clear. You can't have a Melech who's not from Malchus Beis David. So how come the Rambam was so impressed with the fact that the Chashmonaim were the kings until the Churban by Yesheni destruction of the Second Temple? Let's look at the Rambam Yara Chazaka where he explains this halacha. So Rambam Yara Chazaka, Perek Av Lacha Ches, like this. He says, Navi Shehemid Melech Mishar Shifte Yisrael. A Navi. So obviously you need a Navi to come along and to anoint a king who's from Shar Shifte Yisrael. V'hoyo Osta Melech Holech V'derech HaTorah V'Mitzvah. And this Melech goes in the way of Torah and Mitzvos. V'nilcham Melchamas Hashem. And he fights the wars of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hareze Melech. He is a king. Called mitzvahs hamalchus no hagazbo, and all the mitzvahs of the king are Noah. You have to treat him like a king, given the honor of the king. Apalp, even though she ikar hamalchus le David, that the main family of royalty comes from David, the yem ibon of melech, and his descendants should be the king. He says, shahari achia hashiloni hemid. Yerubim. So how do we know that you can have a Navi from another Shevet? And as the Rambam says, I'm sorry, a Melech from another Shevet. And as the Rambam says, that not only can a Melech, a king from another Shevet, however, the fact is that the line continues. So we know that after, when Shlomo HaMelech did what he did, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu anointed, at that point, Achia Shaloni, one of the Nevi'im, went and appointed Yerubim Nevat and told Yerubim that after Shlomo dies, he would become a Melech. He says, and what did Achia Shaloni tell Yerubim Nevat? V'ayah im Shemoa Tishma. As Kol Asher Savach, listen, whatever I command you, Uvanisi Luchabayas Neman Kashinus David, you will have a house that will be reliable, that will continue like I did for David. For Amr Lo Achia, Vilivno Etain Shevi, and Achia said, Vilivno on the son of David Melech, which would be Rechavim, Etain Shevet Echad, I'll give him one tribe to rule over besides Shevet Yehuda, which is his own tribe. He'll also rule over Shevet Binyamin. Leman Heyos near LeDavid Avdi Kol Yamim LeMishlaim. In order that David should still have a semblance of a kingdom in Yerushalayim, so therefore he said David's family will still be a king of Shevet Binyamin, Shevet Yehuda. He says, but you will have the Asaras Hashvat in the 10 tribes. So the Rambam says, we see clearly that you can go ahead and you can have a Navi, a king from a different tribe. And this king from a different tribe, the line can continue. As Achia Shiloni told Yerubim, Uvanisi Lechabayis Neman. Okay? So then if you look at the next halacha, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes, at source number 4, the Rambam goes on. The Rambam says, Malchei Beis David Hema Omdin La'olam. Malchus Beis David, they will stand for eternity. Shenemar, as it says, Kisacha Yanachon Ar Olam, your throne will be firm forever. Avol Im Yamod Melech Mishar Yisrael. But if a king will stand from the rest of the tribes, Tifso Kamalchus, the Malchus will end me Beso. How do we know? Shari Nemar Li Rabam, because Achia told you Rabam, Ach Lo Kol Yom, not all the days. So the Rambam, in source number 3, Halacha Ches points out that you can have a king from a different tribe, and the Rambam says that the line will continue. The Rambam Halacha Ches says that Malchus Beis David is eternal, the other lines are not eternal. So the Raavad says, he doesn't understand. Look at the third line of Halacha Ches. The Raavad says, Zeh Soser. This contradicts Masham Lamaila, what he said above. Below Malchus Bilvad. See, Azvadai Kainhu. So what does that mean? So he says, what would have happened? What should have happened? We know that Yerubim was choti umachti es Yisrael. He sinned, and he caused the Jews to sin. He put up 2 calves in Israel, and he caused the Jews to sin. And because of that, that sort of started that eventually his line was lost to the kingdom. But let's say Yerubim would have been a big tzaddik. Let's say Yerubim would have said, you know what? I realize my role. And he says, for that reason, I am going to be the king because Klal Yisrael needs me. And I'm going to do what's good for Klal Yisrael. And I'm going to let the Jews go to the Beis HaMikdash, because that's where the Jews have to go. And I'll increase Torah learning, and I will watch out for them. So what would have happened? So the Raavad says, yes, his kingdom would have been eternal. And it says, what does it say? He says, Ilu hayu, Yeravam melech kosher. If Yeravam was a kosher king, uvanav ksherim, and his sons would have been kosher, lo hoysa malchus posekes. His malchus would not have stopped, mizaro, avol hoysa shnil malchus beis David, kagon kesar, uplag kesar. He would have been the assistant king. Okay, I think there's a medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yeravam, do tshuva, and you and I and Beis Dabin and Ben Dabin will walk together in the garden, and he said, well, who will be first, right? And it turned out Dabin would have precedence. So because of that, but that's what would have happened. That's what would have happened. So the Ravid says that it would continue on some level, and that's really pshat in the psukim. How the Rambam seems to contradict himself. So let's look, first of all, how he explained it. So if you look at the Radvaz in source number 5, the Radvaz says like this. He explains the question that arrived at. He says, on one hand, the Rambam says a king not from Malchus Beis David will continue, Kol Hayomim. And on the other hand, he says in the Halacha Tes, he says that a king from that's not Malchus Beis David will not continue. So the Radvaz says like this. The Radvaz says, he says, that what's the difference? The difference is like this. That if, he says, that if the Malchus, a Beis David, and you have a Melech that won't keep Torah mitzvos, So the Radvaz says that according to the Ravid, it depends. In other words, if those who are not from Malchus Beis David go ahead and they do something which is wrong, the kingdom will end. But Malchus Beis David always stays in the family of Malchus Beis David, and even if they sin, it might sort of be suspended for a number of generations. It'll come back to Malchus Beis David. And the Radvaz points out that according to the Rambam, The Malchus, a king from the other tribes will not continue. So we still have to stay playing the Rambam, because on one hand the Rambam says they will continue, and on the other hand he says they won't continue. So I'd like to explain the Rambam. Before I explain the Rambam, what I want to do is do the Ramban, and then we'll come back to the Rambam. So the Rambam, the Ramban is a Ramban on Parshas Vayechi. So in the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave to the Shvatim, so the bracha that Yaakov gave to Yehuda was, lo yosho shevim Yehuda, umachokim ben raglov, akia voshilo, v'lo yikas amin. So the scepter will not leave from shevim Yehuda. And the Rambam says that this is a halacha that the malchus have to be in shevim Yehuda. And the Rambam is very clear about that. Now the Ran says it's not halacha, the Rambam says it's more like a bracha. So it's not really a problem. The Ramban says no. That Yaakov Avinu said it's in the Torah that the Malchus cannot leave Shevi Yehuda. So therefore, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to have a king that's going to be the Melech, you're going to have a king that's going to be a Melech. So then, if you're going to have a king that's from a different tribe, that's going to be a problem. What happened to Achia Shiloni? Okay, that was a Navi. A Navi is allowed to do that, but just regularly to go ahead and to appoint a king from a different tribe, that's problematic. So if you look at the Ramban is very important. Ramban says like this, Zehoya Onish HaChashmonoyim. This was the punishment of the Chashmonoyim. Shemochu Vayashen, they were kings during the Second Temple. Kihoyu Chasidi Elyon. First, the Ramban talks about the five brothers. Now, I point out, the Ramban is not speaking against the kings that came after the Chashmonoyim. He's not talking about Yochanan Hyrcanus. That was the son of Shimon, I believe. He's not talking about Alexander Yanai, who was a character. He's not talking about the sons of Alexander Yanai, who were Tzedukim. The Ramban is talking about the five brothers, the five Maccabee brothers that saved Klal Yisrael. And he says they were Chassidi Elyon. V'ilmolei hem, and the Ramban says it wasn't for them, nikstaku haTorah mitzvos miYisrael, we would not have Torah mitzvos anymore. V'af al pi kein, and even so, he says, nenshu onish gadol, they were punished terribly. Why? Because after the revolt and after Nesav Chanukah, Yehuda stayed in his role. And by the way, Yehuda stayed in his role, I don't think he was formally appointed a king, but he acted as a king. He was the general. He was in charge. And he says, the Ramban goes on. He says, because the four sons of the Chashmonai, the Zokin, Hachasidim, Hamolchim, Zachar, Zeh, who ruled one after another, and different brothers ruled one after another until they finally drove the Greeks out of the land, in Kol Burasim Batlachasim, of all their power and all their success, Naflu B'yaroi Vehem, all the brothers except for Shimon, fell in the hands of their enemies, B'cherev. V'yegia Ha'onesh B'sof, and it began there, in the end, it got to a point, L'mash Amru Hazal, like Hazal say, that Kol Man Da'amr, anyone who says, Beish Chashmonoyim Kasina, come from the Chashmonoyim, Abduhu, he's really an Eved, because the whole family's wiped out. So Ramban asked, how could they have all been wiped out? And Ramban asked, how is it that five brothers, they're right, and even Shimon, who became the Nasi, he also, I believe, was killed. Shenichrasu kulam bavonazeh. Afalti shehoyu bezera Shimon onesh min tzedukim. Even though the descendants of Shimon, they were punished because they were tzedukim. Abo kol zera matashiyahu hashanai tzadik. Lo avru el avur zeh. Why did matashiyahu lose all his descendants? Because of this. Shemochu velohoyu mizera Yehudah beis David. They remove the scepter and the stick and the staff. By your own sham mida k'neged mida, Hashem Shachar Baruch Olam asavdeyam behem hichrusam. And this is mida is mida because when Hashem Baruch Hu, he says that Hashem Baruch Hu went ahead and they shouldn't have become kings. So Hashem Baruch Hu put their slaves over them and he wiped them out. He says so. The Ramban is very clear. If someone who is a king not from Malchus Shem Yehuda, it's against the Torah. And this was the punishment.
There were plenty of other
evaders. This is what Ramban says, okay? This is what Ramban says. I want to deal with this Ramban. And he says, yes, the tzedukim later on, but those, the first five brothers, they were tzaddikim chassidi elyon. Why were they all wiped out? Because they took the kingship. We'll try to explain the Ramban. The echser gam kain shayu alehem chetam achusam, and it could be that the other reason why they were punished is not just because they weren't from Malchus Shev Yehuda, but they were Kohanim. And he quotes the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says, you don't annoy the king from the Kohanim. And the question is why? So Rabbi Yehuda and Surya says, because the Pasuk says, Lo Yosef Shev Yehuda, and Rabbi Chiya says, Laman Yarech, because he quotes a juxtaposition. It says the king Laman Yarech Yama Malchuso, that he should elongate his days. Amamlachto on his kingship to Avanam Ker Israel, and immediately after says Lo Yakonu Levim. So he says, so we put it together to show that you should not have kings who are from the Kohanim. So the Ramban says that even though the Jews will at times have a king from other Shevatim, as is needed Kefit Tzorech Hashoah, a moshkin osam shelo yalem hod malchus. Right? So he says, what do you mean? You're allowed to go ahead of a melech. Sometimes you need it. Look what happened to Achiah Shiloni. He anointed Yerav Menevat. So he says, Kefit Tzorech Hashoah, you're allowed to have something, but you shouldn't treat him like a king. Ela kemoshotim v'shotrim. And he says, the reason why he mentions Kohanim is because even though a Kohen is able to have Mashiach to be anointed because of his kuna, but you shouldn't think that's an allowance for a Kohen. So the Ramban is very clear, and he's very extreme about this. You can't have a king that's not from Hashem Yehuda. And the reason why Kohanim are mentioned, singled out, is because you might think, well, maybe you can anoint a Kohen, because already he's a Kohen, so he's allowed to get the Shem and the Mishra. So Ramban says, no, you can't do it. So Ramban says that he feels that was a mistake, and Rabbi Chiya says that according to the Torah it shouldn't be there because it's juxtaposition, and that's the Ramban Shita. So the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. According to the Rambam, not only was the Hatzolah, the salvation, Jews Chanukah time a good thing, but the fact that there were Hashmonean kings and Jewish kings who were Kohanim, it was actually very positive until the Churim Bayis Sheni. According to the Ramban, no, it was pretty negative. I think according to the Ramban, what probably should have happened is like this. I think what should have happened is, again, I don't know, but according to Ramban, so they had the rebellion. Why did they start the rebellion? It's very simple. There was no one else there. So Matisyo decided, I'm going to start this rebellion. And Baruch Hashem, they got in, they got back Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, and there was still a lot of work to be done then. But still, I think Ramban would feel that at that point, once they had the Nes of Hanukkah, there was such a high, Yehuda should have given it over. Yehuda should have given over, you know, the Malchus, just like, for example, when the B'nai B'seir were in the Nesiyim, the princes of Klal Yisrael, and Hillel came into town, they gave over the Nesiyus, the princeship of the Sanhedrin, to Hillel. So the Ramban feels they shouldn't have given over, and because it wasn't given over, all the brothers were wiped out until Shimon. That's what the Ramban feels. The Rambam says, not only is the Ramban our view of the Ramban in regard to the brothers, the Rambam says, whatever was going on, it was a good thing that we had kings who were Jews, even though they were Kohanim, until the destruction of the Second Temple. Okay, so let's try to understand.
And by Shem, it wasn't Shem.
No, I'm not talking about Shem Nishchan. I'm just saying, that, in other words, I just mentioned it. Ramban says, the Ramban says the reason why the Torah makes such a position during the time of the first bias, you might think that maybe it's okay to have a Kohen to be a Melech because he has Shem Mishcha anyways, right? But Ramban holds it was the wrong thing not only to have a Melech, from the Chashmonaim after everything settled down, but even after the Nes Chanukah, according to the Ramban, Yehuda should have given it up at that point. Okay, so now. Let's focus on this. I'm sorry, I don't know. So let's go on. This is before Shnas and Svardim. So let's go on. So now, if you look at the Eben HaOzel, he says, the Eben HaOzel says that the difference between, what does the Rambam mean? So according, the Eben HaOzel says, and this is very important, that the Rambam holds is like this. The Rambam says that what's the difference in Malchus Beis David and a king from a different shevet, a different tribe? So it's very simple, as I mentioned before, that a king from a different tribe, so once they sin, they're finished. It's over. Malchus Beis David, so if they sin, all right, he says, and then they become, they do tshuva, the kingdom will go back and will be restored to Malchus Beis David. So let's look at the Pesukim first and then try to explain what happens. If you look at source number 11, this is the story of Achia Shiloni appointing Yerubbaal, and he tore a shirt into pieces to show that the kingdom of Israel will be torn up. And if you look, he says, and Achia Shiloni says to Melachim Aleph, Perikid Aleph, Chosuk Lamed Hey, says to Yerubbaal Nevat, I'm going to take the Melucha Miyad Beno, and I'm going to take the kingdom from the hands of his son, Unesatiyaloch, and I'll give you the Aser Shvat and the 10 tribes. Livno, and to his son, Etain Shevet Echad, and to his son, to Rechav, and I'll give one tribe, Leman Heyos, near Ledovit, so Dover will have a kingdom still in Yerushalayim, Abdikol Yomim, Yerushalayim, Ha'ir, Asher Bechartili, Li, Lachim Shmisham, the city that I chose, I'm going to place my name there. Va'oschakach, Malach, Tuchol Hashav, Nashecha, and you I will take, and you will rule, according to what you want, Va'yisa, you will be Melech Yisrael. Va'hoya, Im Shtishmu'u, as kol asher etzavcha, if you listen to whatever I command you, v'alach darki, you go my way. V'sisa yoshu beinai, you do what's right in my eyes. Lishmur chukosai, v'sosai kishoshto v'abdi v'yisa, imach v'nisi lucha bayis neman, kashir b'nis l'david, I will build for you a house which will be reliable. He says, v'nasad l'chas Yisrael. He says, then he says, l'amates, v'en ezera david, and I will afflict Zaradov through this, Laman Zos, Achlo Kol HaYomim. So the truth is what the Rambam said, right? The Rambam said that he said that it will be a reliable house for you, and then he says, but it's not forever in the next halacha. And Rav said, Rambam contradicts himself, because in the first halacha, Halacha Chesed seems to imply, in Hilchos Malachim, that it can be continuous forever, and the next halacha the Rambam says, it's not forever. Truth is the Pesukim, because we look at Pasuk Lamed Ches. He says, Bayis Neman, but Lamites it says, Lo Kol Hayomim. So what does the Radak say? So the Radak says, how does the Radak explain Kol Hayomim? The Radach explains Kol Yamin like this. What does it mean? He says, yeah, in other words, what it means that I'm giving you bias Neman, it means for a long time, if you are a tzaddik, which you know Yeravim wasn't, and you act properly. The Radach explains, Asida lachzor limos haMashiach. He says, the Malchus return to Beis David when Mashiach comes, b'mei haMelech haMashiach. As it says, Shenemar v'asisin leitzechod, that the Jewish people will come together as one tree. V'melech echod yeh l'kulam. V'omer avdi David melech aleihem. He says, and then the Radach says, and this pasuk is a tshuva for those that say it won't be Mashiach. Why? Because the Navi said to Yeravim, won't be kol hayomim. What does that mean? There'll come a time when Malchus will be able to rule over all of Klal Yisrael. That hasn't happened yet. So if you want to see where the Navi is saying there will be a Moshe Mashiach, it's right here. That's what Radach says. But Radach says, in other words, when the Rambam goes ahead, when the Pasuk, when Yechir Shlomi goes ahead, and Yechir Shlomi says that it's going to be, you have a bias nem in a reliable house, which applies to continue, and it says, Achlo Kol Yom means like this, I need you for a certain purpose. There's a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appoint you now. Okay? And for the reason that you're supposed to be appointed, you'll be reliable as long as you're a tzaddik. But once that ends, then it's going to return, it's going to revert to based off it. And that's shot in the pasuk. In other words, I need you. He says, V'nislucha bayis neman. You'll have to build a bayis neman. And why? Because I need you for a reason. It could be 100 years, it could be 200 years, it could be 300 years. But once that ends, then we'll go back. Achlo kol hayomim. It doesn't mean that eternally it will stay in your family. The Ravid says you could have stayed in your family. You would have been an assistant king. But according to the Rambam, the way he explains Pshat and the Psukim is, it's not going to go ahead and stay eternally in your family. But I need you for a reason. It could be this reason will exist for 100 years. It could be for 200 years, 300 years. As long as reason exists, it's yours as long as you act properly. We know we didn't do that. And that's why, so when the Rambam, see, he says, when the Rambam goes ahead, in Hilchas Malachim, Perek Aleph Halachaches, the Rambam says that his banav can be a king, a king that's not from Shevet Yehuda. That's as long as it's needed. However, in Perek Aleph Halacha Tes, so then, there he's talking about that at the end, some point, the reason why a different Sheva was appointed, a king for a different Sheva was appointed, will not be relevant, and at that point, the kingdom will revert to Malchus Beis David. That's how my father explained Pshat in the Rambam and Pshat in the Pesukim. So what do we see from here? My father said, so the question is, what happened at the time of Chiya Shaloni? Why was there a reason to appoint a king from a different Shevet? Very simple. Malchus Beis David was not acting the way they should have acted, right? And therefore, Betur Onesh as a punishment. They have to have a king from a different tribe, and this is actually implied in the pasuk, because the pasuk says in pasuk lamates of Malachim Perigid Aleph, va'anez zera David, I will afflict zera David. However, once that ends, once Malchus Beis David is already on the straight and narrow again, of course the kingdom will be removed from you, because the kingdom has to belong to Malchus Beis David. As long as Malchus, the kingdom of Beis David, needs someone on the side that's going to be there to be like a rod to keep you in line, then it can be in your family if you act properly. But once Malchus Beis David starts to act properly again and is on the straight and narrow, at that point the Malchus will return totally to Malchus Beis David. So the question is, let's bring it back to Hanukkah. So it's fascinating, when you come and look at Hanukkah, just to understand. So I would assume that the Ramban would hold that even if there's a temporary reason, according to the Ramban, the Malchus still has to be reverted, has to be in the hands of Shevet Yehuda, according to the Ramban. However, the Ramban would say, as long as you have a reason, and a good reason, that right now it has to be in the hands of a different Shevet, then it's okay. And that's why the Rambam was very impressed, and he expressed the nace that occurred, that the Malchus reverted, came to the Jews, even though it wasn't to Malchus, it didn't go back to Malchus Beis David. If you look, it's fascinating, source number 13. Source number 13 is from the book of the Maccabees, the first book of the Maccabees, Sefer Maccabeim. And I'll just point out that Sefer Maccabeim, the first one, was probably written around the time of the Nes Chanukah, or I would say maybe after the time that Shimon became the Nasi, and historically it's considered to be accurate. Okay, why? Because obviously the closer to the event you write it, the more historically accurate it is. And it's what happened. So when Shimon became the Nasi, so first of all, they didn't refer to Shimon as a king, they referred to him as a Nasi. And what does it say there? Vayilu kol ha-yehudnim va-kohanim, and everyone there, all the Jews in the Kohanim wanted, liyot, this is Sefer HaMakavim, the first book, Shimon Nasi v'kohen gadol aleihem kol yomav, Shimon to be a Nasi and a kohen gadol all the days, ad ki yakum navi emes v'yisrael, until a true prophet got up in Yisrael. So when Shimon became a Navi, and that's right, Shimon became the Melech, or the Nasi, I should call him, so it was on the condition they're waiting until a Navi comes. Until a Navi comes. And once a Navi comes, the Navi would be able to go ahead and decide who should be the king. Now, I have to tell you, I was thinking about this last week. Let's say, Lu Yitzur, okay, in our wildest dreams, all of Klal Yisrael today, all the Jews that get together as one unit, okay? And we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we're ready to build the Beis HaMikdash, and we want to appoint a king. Okay? We want to appoint a king, okay? And we all agree, okay? And we have to go ahead and we have to find a king from Malchus Beis David. Okay? Could we just appoint anybody who has, we know, or they say came from Malchus Beis David? Now, by the way, there are a lot of people that come from Malchus Beis David, okay? Truth is, I haven't met any in a number of years. I think they say that all the Lubavitcher Rebbeim were from Malchus Beis David. There was a Rav, a Talmud Chacham in Chicago, Rav Eugent. Supposedly he had Dor Achador generation that he came from Malchus Beis David, from Shlomo Melech, son after son. Okay, so unfortunately his whole family was wiped out. But obviously they're around. So someone comes and says, I have in my family a contract that I come from David HaMelech. Could we appoint him to be the Mashiach, the Melech Yisrael? And so, Sevi Yehuda? The answer is no. Why not? Because in order to go ahead and appoint somebody, what do you need? You need a chazakah, okay? So if there are Kohanim in this room, there's a chazakah, some chazakah, they're Kohanim. Because why? Because people have duchened over the generations. Is the chazakah and Levim, okay? So I'm a Levi. I have a chazakah that I'm a Levi. What's the chazakah of a Levi? I guess because I wash the Kohanim's hands sometimes. I'm not sure. But you can argue about that, let's say. But he says, there's no chazakah that anybody is from Malchus Beis David. There's no chazakah. However, during the time of the Bai Yishein, the Second Temple era, there definitely was a chazakah. Because we know the first, who came back to build the second base of Mikdash that was the descendant of Malchus Beis David? One of the leaders was Rubavel. And I'm sure they knew, listen, if they know, right, you know, I can trace back, I know who I came from 10 generations back. I'm sure they knew during the time of the Second Temple who was from Zerubbabel. So you don't really need a Navi, right? However, what does it say? It says here that they appointed him to be a Nasi, Aki Yokum Navi Emes Yisrael. What do you need a Navi for? Just appoint somebody already. What's the answer? Probably the answer is that there was a reason. As my uncle said, another reason, they needed a melech from the family of the Chashmonaim or a Nasi. There was a reason. Maybe because someone who inspired the Jews to take the avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple more seriously, someone who had the ability to strengthen their Israel. Whatever the reason was, there was a reason. Okay? However, once a Navi comes, then the game changes. And you have to go ahead and you have to know, What's the next stage? So this is what they were ready for right now. So according to the Rambam, it was a good thing because we needed them. And when we did not need them, so I think they felt when a Navi would come. Now what would be the next stage? So if you look at source number 14, it's a pasuk in Haggai. And you know, when Haggai first came in the scene, he wanted the Jews to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, Perek Beis, and he says, Godol Yia Kavod Abayis Hazeh Ha'achram Min Arishon. The honor of this Beis Mikdash will be greater the second, last one from the first one. Amar Shem Tzvachos, U'vmakom Hazeh Tinshon Lumar Shem Tzvachos. In this place, I'll give peace. And all the Parshim asked the question: How could you say the second temple greater than the first temple? In the first temple, they had the Urim Betumim, they had the Aron HaKodesh, they had the Shemin HaMishcha, they had all these things. What? Nisim Gluyim. So the Mar Chazal explained, well, in two ways it was greater. How was it greater? Number one, the first basement stood for 410 years, the second one stood for 420 years. And also, some of the measurements were a little greater. That's what they explained. That's so the Temple of Hordes was greater. It's fascinating, the Abarbanel goes in a whole polemic. Why? Because supposedly the Christians want to use this to say, what are they talking about? They're talking about the rise of the Oso Ish, right? That's Godel Yiyah. So the Abarbanel goes in a whole polemic to disprove what they say. However, if you look at Ibn Ezra and then the Malbim, so Ibn Ezra says like this. He says, Rabbi Moshe Omar, ki zeho yal tenai. You know how it will be Godel Yiyah covered by Yisrael Rishon and Achron? This is al tenai. If the Jews will be tzaddikim, he says, then Kashu Amar Zachariah Vayim Shamoa Tishmu. Then it'll be Godel. The Malbim, and the Malbim actually says this. The Malbim says like this. The Malbim says that Liyah Kesef, Kshaoz Yakiru Kulam, Kila Kesheko Shali. And they'll bring people to Yerushalayim, and then the Godel covered a Vayim Yerushalayim. Right? Because why? Because then this temple, the second temple, will be the last Bayis HaAchron. And that place will give peace. And it won't be amongst you seen as Chinam. And that's really what caused Goran Bayis Sheni. And the Rat Malvin says, this is what I point out, Lefize, Kaga Perak Beis, Kola Maimer Zehu Tanai, it's all a condition. Im Yovo Od Ruach Achas, if another Ruach comes, V'hu Im Yasus Adover Shekara Simon Methes Mitzrayim, Az Yehu Abayis HaAchron. He says, She'en Achra Bayis. What Chagai was saying is, yes, it could be greater. Right, when it says, this Bayis will be greater, so there's really two roads you could take. You could take the road which happened in the end, where it lasted a little bit longer. Or, if Klal Yisrael had risen to the occasion, so then, the second Bayis would have been the last Bayis. He says, Kolon is Kaima tonight, but the Tanai was not fulfilled the conditions. V'lo yeshom makom, because unfortunately there was sinas chinam, there was unwanted hatred, and there were people who didn't keep their mitzvos. So then this promise was not kept until the bayis ha'achron will be filled. But the Malbim is very clear. It was a Tanai. In other words, the point of the second temple was to bring the second temple to completion, where the second temple would be the third temple. So I would want to suggest that the Chashmonaim is something great, but maybe the Chashmonaim should have come to the next stage. Now if you look, and I'll finish off with this, actually two more points. So in the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah, so Zacharias sees his vision of the two olive trees next to Menorah, he doesn't know what's going on, and the Malach says, he says to Zachariah, Perigdal the Pasikei, Vayana Malach Adobravi, Vayomralai, you know what's here? And I said, and he says, and I said, I don't know what's here, Zachariah says. And he says, Vayana, so what do you say? Zahadobr, this is the thing, Varashem, Ozrubav Alemor. Lo Bechayva, Lo Bekoach, Kimruchim, Varashem Tzvakos. Lo Bechayva, Lo Bekoach. So I want to explain to you, express how Reb Chaim Vrisker explained this Haftorah. It's a very, very sublime Haftorah. And maybe say something a little bit different. Reb Chaim said like this. He says, they're looking at this vision, and he sees the olives, and he knows the olive represents the Shemin HaMishcha. So Reb Bubble says, I don't understand what's going on here. This is second base of Mikdash. I know there's not going to be oil, and there's not going to be Shemin HaMishcha in the second base of Mikdash. So I don't know what's going on. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Lo b'chayo v'lo b'koach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, kim baruchi. What does that mean? So in other words, Zachariah was thinking, yeah, there's not going to be Shemin HaMishcha, and then when there's destruction of this temple, the Kedusha will end, and therefore he didn't understand what Shemin HaMishcha has to do with the second base of Mikdash, the oil of anointing. However, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling the Navi is this Kedusha is not going to end. What does that mean? In other words, when the Jewish people built the first, came to Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, there was a certain sanctification of the land. That sanctification ended when the Jews were exiled. Why? As the Rambam explains, because since they sanctified the land by conquering, when they were conquered, what happened to the Kedusha? It went away. The second base of Mikdash, they didn't come with an army. They came in, and the land became theirs because they worked hard. Sweat and tears and hard work. So that ownership can never be taken away. You can't take away sweat and tears. You can't. So therefore, the Kedusha was remained. And that was the message that the Navi gave. That was the message the Navi went ahead and gave Zechariah. He says, you don't understand what this is about? What you are doing today is going to last until the Yemos HaMashiach. Until the Yemos HaMashiach. But, so, and that's lo b'chai v'lo b'koach kim baruchi. It's my spirit, and therefore the Kedusha will never be suspended. I was thinking maybe you could suggest something a little differently. That maybe what the Navi was telling Zechariah was like this. There's no question that the Jewish people understood at that time that the second temple might not last. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenevsky says that. And that's why when they came back to rebuild the second base on Mikdash, the Anshe Nesed HaGdola, the great assembly, made many takanos to make it easy for us to survive in Golos. All the tefillos we have and the brachas we have really stem from their takanos at that point. So however, we could change. It's in the hands of the Jews to change things. And that's why Zechariah looks and Zechariah says, I don't understand. I see what's going on. I don't know if it's going to last. What's this idea of the Shemana Mishcha, the Olive? It doesn't make sense. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach, kim b'ruchi amar Shem Tzvakos. You never know. You look at a situation, you're despondent, you think that, you know, it's going to be 420 years, and we're going to go with again until the third redemption. But never underestimate the power of chayil, of koach and ruach, what koach and ruach can do. Never underestimate that power. And therefore, it could be that this will somehow or another, you know, just come into and create the Gula Shlema. It's up to you to see what you do. And that was, and the truth is, this Koach and this Ruach, Kim Baruchi Amar Hashem, this Ruach, that's what overtook the Jews at the time of the Neis Chanukah. Because they lost all hope. They're ready to give up. There are certain Jews who said, that's it, it's all closed up shop. But he said, this Ruach can change the world. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Zechariah. Don't be despondent. This actually might last forever. So it's possible to suggest that maybe that's, the Chashman did a great job to the Churim by Yesheni, but we weren't prepared to change the second base HaMikdash into the Gula Shlema. Now, I can't suggest how it'd be done, but it's always very important to see how things go in stages. If I can digress for a second just to explain. Okay? Just to explain. So, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist, I should say, or maybe a political scientist to say that right now there's something wrong with the way we elect our government here, okay? You don't, and I'm not, certainly not one to go ahead and explain what's wrong. However, as we know, there's something going on, you know, that it's not working. However, my father, in the 1960s, when he gave a shiur about Medinas Yisrael, said he referred to Medinas Yisrael as the Mafteach LeGeula. The key to the Geula, the key to redemption. What does that mean? With this key, we can either open up the redemption of the door, or we can go ahead and shut it tight. That's what he said. He says, in other words, the Medinas Yisrael was, in a certain sense, it's like what happened in the second base of Mikdash. This could bring a situation where we actually could bring in the Geula. And we have to know when things change, and when our perspective should change. So, living here already, sure, not as long as many of you, for over 20 years, I have to tell you that in my mind, things have changed so much. What does it mean things have changed so much? Yes. There's no question. There's a lot of negative press. Unfortunately, you know, many cities are running buses on Shabbos, and it seems like people, from the perspective of people living in Chutz La'aretz, by the way, which I just heard recently, it seems like we backtracked. For a person living in Eretz Yisrael, actually, it's not that way. I was at a wedding a few weeks ago, and there at the wedding, I was sitting at the same table. As a journalist, you know, I have to basically put him in a group just for the purpose of the message. And in the Haredi world. But he was an Anglo, so I was able to speak to him, actually. And he was telling me that, you know, he said the Haredim to go into army, but if the army is not going to be a comment, they're not going to go. And he talked about the problems in the workplaces. So I said, I'll ask you a question, I said. To me it seems like the people who are making all these rules are actually scared. Why? Because the country has changed, and the country's changing. said, I told him, my son, when he was in the Givati, my son told me that from the very bottom until just the very top, every officer above him was Dati. Every officer. Except for, I guess, I don't know what you call him, but the head of Givati, okay? And that's why when Ophir Winter was put up to position, they didn't take him. Why? He's not Dati, bottom line, because they're, why? Why? Cause and by the way, if you see the picture, I saw a picture recently, they were sitting discussing something. Many of the people sitting around the table with the army clothes on are wearing kippot. The fact of the matter is that you should know that, yeah, the buses are running, they're running buses on Shabbos. I want you to know, it's a last-ditch effort. Why? Because we are holding, I believe, we are holding in very special times. Where it's time, yes, we have a Medina, we have a state where Jews can come to, and the state has definitely become more religious. Even people that, I would say, are not religious. There's a certain emunah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, during a service in Mechuvah, I was called, I'll finish on time. During a service in Mechuvah, I was called to go down to the police station. I have to give testimony for something, all right? Now, one of the things that, you know, I had gone 2 weeks before, and they said to me, you have to wait 2 hours. I said, 2 hours? Who has 2 hours to wait? I left. I don't know if you can do that in America. So then they call me one more. Where are you? I said, I'm actually at the teacher's here. We have to come. I said, I don't have 2 hours to give you. I said, you come right now. We'll see you right now. Okay? So I got someone to take the first class for me. I run down to the police station. I had my car that day, so it was good. And this lady who... maybe it's not right. I would not describe her as being Dati, the way she looked. I didn't ask her if she's from Erev Shabbos. And she says to me, what do I do? So I told her, I'm a Rav Beit Knesset. She looks at me and she says to me, you're a Rav Beit Knesset? Does that mean you give brachot? So the truth is, I never thought that was my role. I said, okay, I give brachot. Okay, fine. Anyways, the chakira ends. I said, can I go? She says, just a second. She takes me into a room with her friends, who, by the way, I would also say did not look exactly... again, I don't know if the Shmir Shavis was going. I didn't ask them. She says, you can't leave until you give us all brachot. Okay, now there are people who are very good at giving brachot. You know, I'm not so good at giving brachot, because, like, unless I know somebody. So what am I supposed to say? So I said to them, whatever you daven for, I said it in Hebrew, of course, and you need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you. And I heard this resounding amen, and they were so happy. There's an emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an appreciation. We've reached a role where we're ready for the next step. We can't, and we have to realize what's going on right now. It's sort of like, I'm not sure why it's happening. But if the Hashmonaim should have taken the Jews to the next step and done like the Malbim says, or maybe Aruchi is overtaking the country. We're ready for the next step. I just want to mention, and just to finish off, I mentioned this in the second shiur I gave in Beit Avichai. It was the Hanukkah shiur. And there I mentioned that Rashi, certainly according to Rashi, I saw my uncle said this, that he said that that if you look at the Gemara, source number 18, that Lashana Acheres, another year, they kavum v'asum, they made it Yom Tovim v'halva v'hado. So, after Nes Chanukah, a year later, they made the Yom Tovim to say Hallel, and Rashi says, Hodah Zal Nisim. What happened to Hadlachas Neiros? Where's Hadlachas Neiros? So, my uncle pointed out, and he quoted in the footnotes to Avnei Nezer, said this, I spent years looking for Avnei Nezer, haven't found it. So it must be, it was Al Pishmua, that the Hachiv of lighting Hadlachas Neiros happened before the Churban. And if you look in Josephus, Josephus has not mentioned it. Okay? Does not mention it. That's what the Gemara says. And that's why there was a lot of confusion. Do you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? What do you do? Why? You didn't need the menorah. Why not? Because they had a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. At the time of the Nes Chanukah, they weren't sure yet that there would be a Churban. Because there was a certain spirit that took over Klal Yisrael. And the goal of Hashmonayim was to take the spirit, and they did a great job. They brought Torah back. They brought mitzvahs back. But if the spirit could have brought Abbas Yisrael back, it would have made the biggest difference in the world. And I think that if that's the crossroads that we're at now, Medinas Yisrael is a temporary resolution until the Melech HaMashiach, until the Malchus, towards the Malchus Beis David. In my humble opinion, we're at a crossroads right now where we're ready to go to the next stage to bring the Gula Shlema. And hopefully, of our tefillas, we have to daven. And actually, I will just add on by emphasizing the importance of the things which are unfortunately not being taken care of in this country, enhancing our Shemira Shabbos, enhancing our Siyas and Mitzvos, that will bring us, that will help bring us to the next stage. And hopefully we should get to that stage where, you know, which we somehow missed out on during the second base of Mikdash, we can actually come to the Gula Shlema. Everyone should have a wonderful, safe, warm winter and a happy Hanukkah.